Row out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother, of who then will dare to throw out the lifeline his peril to share? Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline with hand quick and strong. Why do you tarry? Why linger so long? See, he is sinking. Oh, hasten today and throw with the lifeboat away, then away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is sinking today. Throw out the lifeline to danger fraught men, sinking in anguish where you've never been. Winds of temptation and billows of woe will soon hurl them out where the dark waters flow. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is sinking today. Soon will the season of rescue be o'er. Soon will they drift to eternity's shore. Haste then, my brother, no time for delay, but throw out the lifeline and save them today. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is drifting away. Throw out the lifeline, throw out the lifeline, someone is sinking today.
We hear a lot of something today. Well, you hear it if you spend much time online or if you spend much time out in the world. You'll hear it a lot, and that's this statement coming from the world, okay? God made me this way. All right? I'm going to counter that statement by saying this. None of you were created. You were, what's the word? Born. All right? You were born. Now, is there a miracle that takes place at the moment of conception when life begins? Yes. But that miracle is conducted with corrupted seed. Okay? So don't think for one second that God made you. God gave you life, but he did not make you. You were born to your mother and father in what? Sin. Exactly. And I think if there is a problem today for people who are possibly seeking. It is the deception of the great liar that they're okay because God made them this way. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, 20 for context. And Noah built it an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered a burnt offering on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is what? Evil from his youth. The imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more every living thing as I have done. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. But remember, what's right buried in the center of that is this. We're evil from our youth. From our youth. Let's jump in two more places. Go to Psalm 51. I'm not just going to make a statement. Any statement I make that's not backed up by Scripture is totally pointless. I would proffer by saying that it's an opinion. But this isn't an opinion. What I just said is not an opinion. It's backed up by Scripture. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This business of God made me this way is straight out of the pits of hell. I don't want to hear it anymore. God didn't make you. You were born to a sinful mom and dad, and the second you could do it, you sinned. She ain't there yet. Or is she, Colby? Ask mom and dad. She knows what she's doing. Even at that point, you go, oh, she's so cute and sweet. Not when she gets that little mean little girl look, is it? You know what that is? That's the sin of Adam starting to rear up already. You say, oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the minute you tell her this word, what is it? It's two letters. Watch it. Minute you say no to a kid for the first time, watch it. What's inside will be manifest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Amazing. Romans chapter 5. I just want to nail this down before we go any further in this passage in Matthew chapter 7. Three is a good number, so we'll use three verses.
Genesis, Psalms, and Romans. One at the beginning, one in the middle, and one at the end. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded to many." Now you can go back to Matthew chapter 7. We are plowing through the Sermon on the Mount. And I would venture to say that the weeks that we've spent on the Sermon on the Mount, as far as time is concerned, if we were to add them up, that's probably how long Jesus sat on the mountain that day and talked to those people. It wasn't 45 minutes and they left for lunch. I guarantee it. There was more that he said in every single time that he talked to people. There was more that he said than is recorded, because the books could not contain it. So start getting that. We need to start getting that into our mind as we look through the life of Christ. God's given us what we need for right now. He gave them more than. Okay? Because he was dealing with the Jews here. And what was the crux of this entire message? It was a contrast between what? Two ways, two paths, two trees. We're going to see the trees. It's a contrast between two. A contrast between truth and error. Between religion and truth. A lot of religion out there today. There's churches meeting all over America right now. I'd like to know the total. I should have Googled it. Probably would have told me what the total of all churches, all Christian churches in America is. Might have given me the total. And I would like to think that they're all meeting today. Some of them may not be. I don't know. But I can tell you this. A question comes often from the lost world. You know, you're all talking about God, but you're all saying different things. Which one of you is right? Well, Jesus said that there's only one straight gate, that means narrow, difficult to pass through. Several of the commentators, Spurgeon included in that, John Gill, mentioned the difficulty of the straight gate. I was accused once by a preacher, "You're making it too hard." And you know what I said? It is hard. There's a battle at the end for a soul. There's a war that rages. It's not something that can just be flippantly done with a quip of a prayer. It is hard. You must repent. You must turn. You must see yourself for what you are. Born in sin. We've got a problem in America with good people. You say, that's a problem? Well, socially, it's not. Spiritually, it's tragedy. Socially, I want to live around good people. Don't we? We want to be around good neighbors. We don't want to be around neighbors where beer bottles are hitting our roof at 2 o'clock in the morning. We want to be around good neighbors. But spiritually, it is absolutely epidemic tragic, because we've got tons of good people, and what makes it even more tragic is we have Christians that believe that if they're, that's a good person, he mentions God every now and then, he's going to be okay.
No, he's not, if he hasn't grabbed that lifeline they just sang about. No, they're not.
And here we are. Two ways. Two paths. And we get down now to two trees. Verse 15 of Matthew chapter 7. Beware. Beware. I'm going to tell you something. When I was a trooper and I walked up to a gate at a house and there was one of them great big old signs there, beware of dog. There's two things you don't want to do when you're in law enforcement. Number one, you don't want to get bit. And number two, you don't want all the paperwork and the lawsuits that come down when you got to whack somebody's German shepherd. You don't want either one, do you, Ed or Matt? You don't want either one. The last thing I want, but you also don't want to stand at the gate and hollering at the house, hey, could you come out while the guy's getting his gun ready? Been there, done that. So you're kind of in a straight betwixt too, because if there's a domestic going on inside, and this happened to me one time, and thankfully I had a black belt, national ranked number 10 in the country. I'd say his name. He's a modest guy. He would never, back when he was in college, but I won't. I'll just tell you, he's a good guy, nice guy, trooper. I believe the guy might be saved. I truly do. But he was a nationally ranked black belt, and there was a domestic inside, and there was a big German shepherd between us and that front door. And I said, David, we're going to have to shoot it, or because I said, we got to get in there. And David just walked around me, walked up to that dog. That dog lunged at him, and he did some kind of move on that critter, and it went back to the house. Beware.
Jesus says here this. Beware false prophets. Okay? Beware false prophets. I could take you to the Old Testament. We could talk about the prophets. And we could talk about the people as well, because the people are involved in this. Because in the Old Testament, the people said to the prophets, prophesy to us smooth things. I don't want to feel bad. I'm not coming to church to feel bad. When I leave out of church, I want to feel good. Because after all, I am a, what? Good person. Okay? So prophesy to us. And God rebuked the prophets for doing just that in a number of places. Rebuke the prophets for that. And he says here, beware of false prophets which come into you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. And we talk about this, particularly in the church. We talk about wolves a lot. But in this context, I'm not going to apply it anywhere else. I'm going to apply it exactly to what Jesus was applying it to. He is talking about false prophets. He's not just talking about a lay person, a wolf that comes into the church. That is found in the book of Acts with Paul's address to the Ephesian elders. That is, I believe, the wolves that come. And it even says there, they come up from among you. Okay? Different word as well. One word is ravenous. The other word is grievous. It's describing two different types of wolves. So to take this and to... And I've done it, and I was wrong in doing it, because the longer I've studied this in getting ready for today and preparing for this message, I realized, can't move this one over to the other one. It's two different wolves. It's two different wolves. This one straight up is one kind of wolf. It is a false prophet. It is someone who does not preach the truth. Okay? So here in this verse, he says, beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Let me just give you real quick, if I can find it here.
Where did I write that down? Ah, there it is. Ravenous.
Greedy for food. Okay? There's a difference between grievous and ravenous. And I'm not going to grievous. Just forget about that one up in Acts. Let's stay where we are, right in the context. Greedy for food, satisfaction, or gratification. There is a false prophet who is greedy for food. Okay? Satisfaction or gratification. These are the prophets that he's talking about. And he said, beware of these prophets because they come to you in sheep's clothing. Now, I dug into this some
because this isn't just an allegory. This isn't just a comparison. This isn't just a parable. Do you know what the Pharisees wore? They wore an outer robe called a tallit. Tallit. I'm not sure how the original Hebrew spelling was. But that outer robe was white, and guess what it was made from? Wool. Wasn't sheepskin now. It was made from wool. It was made from wool.
They had an outer robe that was made of tallit. Right here, Christ is addressing one specific thing. It is the Pharisees. It is the Pharisees. 100%. He is talking about the Pharisees because they are the problem. They are the false prophets. They are the one who are leading people to the path that will lead them to destruction. Absolutely. They are the religion at that time. And the reason there's a comparison there with sheep's clothing and the tallit and the wolf is this. The Pharisees, remember, he called them four times prior to in the message. What word did he use? He called them hypocrites. Okay? Playing the part. So when we read these next few verses, don't get into your mind that it is their lifestyle that is evil, because they are portraying a lifestyle of what? Righteousness. They're dressed in the white robes. They appear to men to be the righteous ones. Okay? They look the part. They play the part well. Jesus said, they are ravenous wolves. Beware of false prophets. Let's do that. I'm going to show you a sheep. Get it ready, and I'll tell you when to turn it on, okay? Let me read something from John Gill, the pastor of the Tabernacle Baptist Church, the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London during the early 1800s, okay? This is John Gill. Don't worry about him right now. You're going to hear him in just a second, okay? This is John Gill. John Gill says this, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. By fruits are meant not so much their external works in life and conversation, for a false prophet may so behave as not to be discovered thereby." Think about it. You think they're going to act in a way that's going to turn you off and turn you away? No, sir, they're not. They're going to portray themselves to be something they are not. So the Pharisees were outwardly righteous before men, and false teachers among Christians may have the form of godliness and keep it up, though they are strangers to and even deny the power of it. But their doctrines here are meant and the effects of them. Their doctrines are meant. So the fruit that we're going to talk about in a few minutes is the doctrine and effect of these men, because they're not out drinking in the bars.
They're not. They're trying to portray to be something that they're not. That's what wolves in sheep's clothing is. It's a part of the ruse. It's a part of the hypocrisy. When doctrines are contrary to the perfections of God, listen to this. What are the perfections of God? Boom. Right here. When doctrines are contrary to the perfections of God, repugnant to the scriptures of truth, tend to depreciate the person and offices, blood, righteousness, and sacrifice of Christ, to lessen the glory of God's grace. Here's the key. To exalt the creature, okay, and to fill men's minds with notions of purity. You're good people. Just do your best, you'll be all right. Self-sufficiency, you got this. And the ability of human nature, there's good in all of you. When they are calculated to feed the pride and vanity of men, to get money and gain applause, to serve their own interest, and to gratify men's lusts and passions, they may be easily discerned who they are and from whence they come. And this was written in the early 1800s. How bad is it? Now, play it.
In the words of Dr. Jesus today, the entire human experience is nothing more than an opportunity to remember your inner divinity and reconnect with that inner divinity in all others, all experiences, all moments, everything. Everything is an opportunity for you to reconnect with the divinity that's already within you. Remember that. Go back to that. You were divine long before you were all the different labels that this world puts on you. When you go back to that, when you remember that, when you absorb that, when you bring that into your existence, and when you bring that into your life, that's when you begin to live a life abundant. That's when you begin to realize how amazing the divine is. That's the transformation. That's the change that makes life all abundantly beautiful. Love you guys. Chat soon. In the word.
Holy cow. Holy cow. But that is being swallowed by America. He's one of the biggest influencers on Facebook, as far as that's concerned. Inner divinity? Where's that in your Bible? Everything he said. Everything he said was false. But that dude is more smooth tongue than my buddy down in Texas, Joel Osteen. I'm serious. He is more dangerous than Joel. They preach the same thing, but what did this man say in the early 1800s? Remember what he just said. To exalt the creature, to fill men's minds with notions of purity, self-sufficiency, and the ability of human nature. To feed the pride and vanity of men, to get money and gain applause. And he has a .com. What's .com mean? There's moolah involved. So you know what I'll do? I'll tickle people's ears till the cows come home and the money rolls in. And tickle their ears right on the broad path that leads to that. Leads to destruction. Amen. Right there. That leads to destruction. At salvation, we get the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but it does not make us divine. Amen. He comes to live inside of me. But my old nature is still there. There's nothing divine in me. The Holy Spirit's dwelling in me, who is divine, but I am not divine because He's there. Amen. I think that's gotten confused a little bit. We were never divine. Adam and Eve weren't divine. Reconnect with your divinity. Your divinity. I like the beginning where he says, Dr. Jesus. I don't ever remember anywhere, and as we go through the life of Christ, you correct me as we if we find that somewhere through here, because we ain't found it yet. You need, what did Jesus say to Nicodemus? You need to be born again. Spiritually. That is the message of 90-some percent of the churches in America today. And that's not truth. Beware false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves, greedy for food. And while you're at it, smash that like button and the bell. And visit my website or go over to Patreon. Mm-hmm. Dr. Jesus. What a flippant way to call my rescuer. I'll tell you right now, the first time I saw that video, I just, God forgive me, but I wanted to climb through that screen and grab him by the throat. Say, you're a liar and you're deceiving I don't know how many people. But you know what? The Bible talks about a time when God will send them strong delusion, and I believe it's already starting. It's already starting. That's what I believe. Go back to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets which come unto you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall, what is the next word? Don't tell me you can't know somebody. Now, you can't, because you're not God, until they let you know. And they will let you know at a point in time. If it goes long enough. If it goes long enough. Ye shall know them by their fruits. That is the results of their ministry. What they produce. It's not their lifestyle now. Because remember, they're hypocrites. They're playing the part. What are they producing? Another generation of hypocrites. Okay? Another generation of hypocrites. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Two things that are life-giving. Two things that are not. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. I've heard this preached a million times as far as evangelism and that kind of stuff goes. That ain't what this is talking about, y'all. In the context of the trees and the fruit, we are talking about what? False prophets. Okay? False prophets. People who prophesy smooth things. Guys who say that. Oh yeah, and guess what? Hey, I'm not going to throw him completely under the bus without saying there are some Baptist guys that I personally know that this morning would say to their congregations, repentance is simply a change of mind from unbelief to belief. And you know what? That is nigh on to that. As a matter of fact, it might just be as bad as that. I'll just go on record as saying it is. It is. Because they'll die and go to hell in a Baptist church, not his. And that's going on all over our country as well. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I am not going to do it. And I'm not going to do it to be a ravenous wolf just so we can knock that back wall out and start padding that bank account even more. Not going to do it. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Now we're getting parabolistic, but don't miss the main point. Quit worrying about trees and fruit. Look for the model of the car, okay? Because two trees from a distance can look what? They can look the same. They can look the same. I go up into Biglerville, and before they get their leaves on them, particularly before they get their leaves on them, and before the fruit comes out on them, I can't tell you if it's a red delicious or a golden yellow. What are all them apple brands? There's tons of different apples, aren't there? And you look out across those fields, as far as I'm concerned, they are all what? Apple trees. But they're not all apple trees. There's other trees mixed in there with them too. And from a distance, you could look at that field of trees and there could be four different kinds of fruit in there. But you can't tell the difference because they look the same. Whew. That gets closer to home. Because he don't look or sound anything like us. But there are guys who do, who are preaching another gospel in Baptist churches. And that is quick prayerism, easy believism, child evangelism, and all of that good stuff with no biblical repentance. And you know what? I don't care if I have no friends at the very end of my ministry as far as other ministry friends are concerned. I'm just going to shout from the rooftop, don't go that way. I'm not. I'm not. It's already gotten around where I stand on certain things. You know why? You know how many times I've been asked to preach outside of here since I've been here?
As many times as I have.
Zero. And you know what? I'm in good company. I'm in good company. They know what I believe. I've opened my yap enough. But you know what? This is the flock God gave me. I don't want to preach to nobody else's flock. I don't want to preach to anybody else's flock. This is who God entrusted me with. But I'm not going to get asked. I'm not going to get asked. And one of the reasons is right here. This is the main reason, right here. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. That is a given. The main point is, what goes back to this entire message, is that Jesus is laying out a contrast between what? Two. Not a million religions, just two. What the Judaizers were saying, what the Pharisees were saying, and what the truth of the matter is. Israel wasn't worshiping Jupiter, Saturn, Venus, Aphrodite, Diana, and all of that. They were worshiping Jehovah at the temple in Jerusalem. But it was wrong because they had false prophets creep in and twisted things for their own gain. every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall, there is that word again, that's twice. Twice. Two times. Ye shall know them. Know them. You hear that verse further up in the Bible where it says they went out, I think it was John, 1 John, they went out from us because they were not of us. Had they been of us, they would have remained with us. That's one of the fruits. We could apply this outside of there, but let me just tell you that in this fruits discourse, also over in verse 21 to 23, which I don't think I'm going to try and get into today. I think we'll save 21 to 23 for next week. I was going to start that, but if I do, we're going to be here till 20 after. And frankly, I'm going to tell you all right now, I am wiped from this week. Not physically, but spiritually, mentally, and emotionally. I am wiped from this week. I don't take anything that has happened this week lightly at all. And it has taken a toll on me. I did sleep good last night for the first time in a while. And you know what? It's over. A lot of it. I do not want to stray from this. I do not want to stray from this. I will not preach a gospel that even comes close to what you heard to there. But the problem is, when I do that, when I tell a spiritual child, no, you know what happens? Children throw fits. I'm going to tell you right now. I've thrown fits to God when He told me no a few times. I've thrown my share of fits. That's the old nature. Amen. And then the Holy Spirit says, listen to you. Listen to you. What are you doing? What are you saying? There's nothing easy about this. Not on His part. His part is easy. It's the battle with the old nature that's not. And I'll be honest with you, I don't want to tickle my old nature when I preach to you, because I'm preaching to me today. I want God to do something on me. I don't ever want to be considered a false prophet. He would consider me a false prophet. Let me ask you all something. Who's right? Who's right? I didn't hear him quote what? Did you hear him quote one verse of Scripture? No. Not one. Not one. Because everything he said is a figment of his imagination. And our world is full of that. Because after all, God made me that way, and that's just how I see it. How does God see it? How does God see it? And that's for everything in our lives. I've done some real internal inspection this week. Through all that went on this week, the Holy Spirit said, when's the last time you did a little bit of house cleaning there, bub? When's the last time you did some house cleaning? So I went into the closets, the closets, opened the doors, and I had to do some dusting. Well, let me put it this way. It was more than dusting.
I had to get rid of some junk. You know what? That's what the Word should do to us every single time we go there. Shouldn't it? That's what the Word should do to us. It should help us empty our closets. Because after all, nobody knows what's in there, do they? You know what? I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to wear a white robe and be full of dead men's bones. Do you? Do you? You say, oh, this is only for guys like him. Nah, I think this is for all of us, don't you? I think we could all take some lessons from this. And I'll be the first one to say, I have studying it out. Stand with your heads bowed.